This is Politics Inside Out from Marketplace. I'm Andrea Seabrook here in Philadelphia, and with me is Marketplace's
Kimberly Adams.
Hey, Andrea.
Hello, Kimberly. Here's what we're going to talk about today.
You know, my shrink says we don't get what we want, we get what we think we deserve.
I'm not against all trade. Trade is just a part of life in the modern world.
So, Kimberly, we're talking today about this big rift in the Democratic Party. Day one of the convention was not much about Hillary Clinton as much as it was about Bernie Sanders.
And as much as the Democrats were trying to focus today on unifying the party and getting the Democrats that were backing Bernie to get in line and get on board with Team Hillary, it's not really about party loyalty, really. It's more about, as we've been talking about for the last week, insiders and outsiders, who this economy is for and who it's leaving behind. Have a listen to actress and comedian Sarah Silverman, who gave one of the speeches on night one.
You know, my shrink says we don't get what we want, we get what we think we deserve. And Bernie showed us that all of America's citizens deserve quality health care and education, not just the wealthy elites.
Right there, that's what we're talking about. That people, especially right now, it seems like people in the Bernie camp feel that they are outsiders, and they feel anyway that Hillary Clinton is an insider. So there's this real struggle that we've been talking about. Sarah Silverman really points that out there. And we saw this out on the streets as well.
Right. I mean, we were out there following along with the marches with several different groups of Bernie Sanders supporters, or, I mean, more accurately, anti-Hillary and anti-DNC demonstrators and protesters who were very upset and very angry and talking about the fact that they know they're outside the system and they have zero confidence, many of them, that anything happening inside of that convention is going to represent their interests.
There was this great moment earlier in the day when Bernie Sanders sent out a message to all of the delegates that are here representing him, calling a delegate meeting. And I happened upon sort of the place where people were gathering. It's like a big echoey train station. And there were thousands of people in line to see Bernie Sanders, many of them delegates of his. And people got really, really rowdy.
What was it like in there? Must have been a tight fit.
It was packed, but it was kind of this mixture of party and defiance. And by party, I mean like fiesta. I don't mean the Democratic Party. But it was, you know, because these people were about to see their hero who represents them in the greater party, which they feel on the outside of. So I talked to one guy. His name is Andrew Spiro. He's a delegate from Illinois. And he was surreptitiously handing out signs. I noticed him doing this. He had a little backpack.
We're not supposed to have signs in the convention. And if you ask me, that's a violation of your First Amendment right at a Democratic convention.
The signs, Kimberly, have three letters, TPP, big black block letters, with a big red circle around them and a slash. So no to TPP. That's the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Right, it's this massive trade deal focusing on Pacific Rim countries, United States a part of it, and even though it's President Obama's big push to try and get this passed before he leaves office, both of the presidential candidates, presumptive nominees, are kind of in the middle right now. Both of them have pretty much given it a pass for now. Hillary Clinton used to be more favorable about TPP, but now she's kind of backing away from it. Donald Trump is saying absolutely not.
This is so fascinating that trade, a big trade deal, becomes such a huge issue. And certainly for Bernie Sanders supporters and certainly for Andrew Spiro, who I talked to.
I've heard it described as NAFTA on steroids. I'm not against all trade. Trade is just a part of life in the modern world. But it should be fair trade. We shouldn't be shipping jobs, American jobs, overseas to places like Bangladesh where they make 30 cents an hour. We should help bring them up to American labor standards.
The head of the AFL-CIO was up there really hammering in this message, Richard Trumka, saying that Trump in particular was not going to be good for labor and for unions, and that this idea that which Trump is really pushing, that he's there for the workers, is, according to Richard Trumka, just not the case.
Donald Trump has repeatedly outsourced jobs to line his own pockets.
And then here's what Trumka said about Hillary Clinton.
She's fighting to rewrite the economic rules for all of us. She has a bold plan to invest in manufacturing, infrastructure, and jobs. She opposes the job-killing Trans-Pacific Partnership.
And Andrew, there's this big wing of the Democratic Party that is against this trade agreement, even though it's being pushed by a Democratic president right now. And there's also a lot of Trump supporters who are against it. And of course, they have their candidate joining them, vehemently opposed to this deal. All of them on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of this divide, feeling like they've been left behind, that they're stuck on the outside, and that this kind of agreement benefits big business, and it doesn't really help them.
This was definitely theme of day one of the Democratic Convention. Now, let's take a quick second and take people inside this sort of crazy hall for a minute. Well, you and I, as you remember, walked around, tried to get a little lay of the land inside Philadelphia's Wells Fargo Arena.
Where you spotted a couple celebrities.
I did. I saw Bradley Cooper. And who else? I had to look up who that is.
You are also like spotting, that's Senator so-and-so, and that's Congressman so-and-so. Yes, that's where Andrea gets excited, everyone.
And speaking of my
encyclopedic knowledge of all things Congress,
we ran into Representative Steve Israel, congressman from New York. He was the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in the House. That's the committee that raises money for congressional Democrats. He's a close ally to Nancy Pelosi. And I asked him, you know, how are you going to deal with this? How are you going to court people in your own party who, because of trade, may be trying to decide between voting for Trump or Clinton or Jill Stein of the Green Party, or maybe even worse for Clinton, people deciding between voting and not voting on Election Day at all, especially when these are traditional, old-school left-wing union voters. Here's what Congressman Israel said.
We're going to make the case to those voters that Donald Trump opposes a living wage. Donald Trump has spent an entire career walking on working men and women. Donald Trump wants to roll back basic union protections. Donald Trump is not in the best interests of working class Americans, and Hillary Clinton is.
His argument is almost entirely negative.
Yeah, and this idea of that kind of the only thing holding some people with the Democratic Party and with Hillary Clinton right now is the fact that they believe the other candidate is so much worse. It reminds me when I was following along with that anti-DNC, anti-Hillary, pro-Bernie march, and I noticed as we were going through one of the neighborhoods in particular, these two women sitting out on their stoop, sort of watching people go by. They were having a cigarette, just relaxing. And so I stopped to talk to them. It was Diana Figueroa and her mom, who didn't want to be interviewed. But I asked Diana about what she thought of this campaign and the election and the economy. And she said that she was really inspired to see all of these people out because she'd been feeling pretty cynical about the whole process.
It's all about money with the 1%. And, you know, I feel so strongly about this election. When I thought that Bernie was going to concede, I had the idea of not even going to vote for either one of them, Hillary or Trump.
She's still holding out hope for Bernie Sanders, even though it's really, really, really unlikely that he's going to end up at the nominee at this point. She said that she doesn't really feel comfortable voting for Hillary and never Trump.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Overall, it was a really interesting first day. Our next episode comes to you tomorrow after night two of the DNC. We'll be hearing from former President Bill Clinton, as well as some of the mothers of Black men killed in violent incidents involving police that have sparked protests over the past few years.
We're talking the mothers of Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, and more. It's probably going to be really emotional. And these are women that Hillary Clinton has reached out to before and has included in her campaign as she really pushes for changes in the way that we handle guns in America.
And I cannot imagine that the Bernie Sanders supporters will be as rowdy in the convention hall while those women are speaking. So, we'll see. Kimberly?
Yes, Andrea?
Don't miss our coverage in which you have participated. All of our coverage is at marketplace.org/insideout. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Downcast, Overcast, and, you know, leave us a rating or a review. We would love that. Tell your friends and let us know what you think so far. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Radio Babe.
I'm at KA_Marketplace.
And one last thing. We have gotten some great questions from people listening to the podcast. Questions we are going to take into the convention. Leave us questions. 213-621-3535. Make sure you give us your name, your hometown, and, you know, your question. Again, that's 213-621-3535. I'm Andrea Seabrook. I'm Marketplace's DC Bureau Chief.
And I'm Kimberly Adams, Washington, D.C. reporter.
And this is Politics Inside Out from Marketplace. This is APM.